Varane, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Creation, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text Number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ja Nenagas. I'm sorry. Jane Nagasi Agam Yunjan Sarvato Asya Cha Madbayam Sadhunam Badram Eva Syad Asadhu Damane Krite Janenagas Yagang Yunjan Sarvatosya Chamadbayam Sadhunang Bhadrameva Syad Asadhu Damane Krite Jane Nagas Yagang Yunjan Sarvatosya Chamadbhayam Sadhunang Bhadrameva Syad Asadhu Damane Krite Jane Nagas Yagang Yunjan Sarvatosya Chamadbhayam Sadhunang Bhadrameva Syad Asadhu Damane Krite. Please chant. Ladies,
thank you.
anyone else. Jane, to the living beings, Anagasi, those who are offenseless, Agam, sufferings, Yunjan, by applying, Sarvata, anywhere and everywhere, Asya, of such offenders, Cha, and Mat bhayam, fear me, sadhunam, of the honest persons, badram, good fortune, eva, certainly, siat, will take place, asadhu, dishonest miscreants, damane, curbed, krite, being so done. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. Please repeat. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dishonest miscreants flourish because of cowardly and impotent executive heads of state. But when the executive heads are strong enough to curb all sorts of dishonest miscreants in any part of the state, certainly they cannot flourish. When the miscreants are punished in an exemplary manner, automatically all good fortune follows. As said before, it is the prime duty of the king or the executive head to give protection in all respects to the peaceful, offenseless citizens of the state. The devotees of the Lord are by nature peaceful and offenseless, and therefore it is the prime duty of the state to arrange to convert everyone to become a devotee of the Lord. Thus, automatically, there will be peaceful, offenseless citizens. Then, the only duty of the king will be to curb the dishonest miscreants. That will bring about peace and harmony all over human society. So I'm going to read the preceding verses leading up to here, so we get some context. Suta Goswami said, while the earth and the personality of religion were thus engaged in conversation, the saintly king Parikshit reached the shore of the Sarasvati River, which flowed towards the east. After reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower caste Shudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and bull with a club, as if they had no owner. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Although the cow is beneficial, because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by Yashudra. There were tears in her eyes, and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field. Maharaj Parikshit, well equipped with arrows and bows, and seated on a gold-embossed chariot, spoke to him, the Shudra, with a deep voice sounding like thunder. Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong, and yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless? By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man, a king. But by your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas. You rogue, do you dare beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the carrier of the Gandiva bow, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed. Then Maharaj Parikshit asked the bull, Oh, who are you? Are you a bull as white as a white lotus? Or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving on only one. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull? Now, for the first time in a kingdom, well protected by the arms of the kings of the Kuru dynasty, I see you grieving with tears in your eyes. Up till now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence. O son of Surabhi, you need lament no longer. There is no need to fear this low-class Shudra. And O mother cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you. O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life, and good rebirth vanish when all kinds of living beings are terrified by miscreants in his kingdom. It is certainly the prime duty of the king to subdue first the sufferings of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill this most wretched man because he is violent against other living beings. Maharaj Parikshit repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull. O son of Surabhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, everybody say? Krishna. There is no one as unhappy as you. O bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations, which blackmailed the reputation of the sons of Pritha. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to the law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Trinadapi sunichena tarodiva sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama eva kivalam, Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. So, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that when the ruler is strong, then he has to see that the people, the innocent people, are protected and thereby chastise the miscreants. The problem is, in Kali Yuga, the leader is himself miscreant, rascal. Yes, if you're watching what's happening in the world, more and more countries are turning to dictators. So in one sense, you could say good, strong, but he's also a rakshasa, killing the innocent people. So that's the problem with Kali Yuga. Everything is topsy-turvy. Everything is crazy, getting more and more crazy day after day, like a runaway train. It just gets faster and crazier and more absurd. Thank God there is the Krishna consciousness movement. Because if there was no Krishna consciousness movement, then it would be the United States of hell. But we, the Krishna consciousness movement, why? Because during the Vietnam War protests, Prabhupada wrote that peace formula as being a child of the 60s, a hippie myself. Peace, man. All you need is love. But Prabhupada pointed it out very clearly. You want peace? Bhoktaram yagya tapasang sarvaloka maheshwaram sukridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamang shantam richyati. Anyone who has done any Indian programs, they always hear this. Shanti, shanti, shantihi. But there is a science for peace. There's no hocus pocus. Maharaj, please give us peace. No. Prabhupada has laid out, Bhagavad Gita is a science. So you want peace? Then you have to live by three principles. First of all, you are not the enjoyer. First principle. The enjoyer is God, Krishna. You want to enjoy? Your enjoyment is secondary. Meaning, first you satisfy Krishna, automatically you become satisfied. You decorate, ladies, you decorate with kajal and different things. The reflection shows you, oh, I look nice today. So we paint and decorate Krishna, and we, being the reflection, automatically we become beautiful. Prabhupada writes in his books, how because the devotees are following the principles, attending the programs, chanting Hare Krishna. Although when they first came, they were emaciated. Now by following the regulative principles, they become bright-faced. And when they're dressed with tilak and wearing this garland, they look like Vaikuntha. They look like they come from Vaikuntha. So first thing is, I'm not the enjoyer. I am the servant, not the master. And when I understand, I'll get there faster. So yes, the quicker I can learn that I'm not the master, that I'm the servant, then I can actually be happy. But as long as I'm trying to imitate Krishna as the enjoyer, that is preventing me from actually being happy and enjoying. I have to give up this mentality. I am the enjoyer. I am the servant. I am the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times down of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Janavallabha, Gopina. But to learn that I am the servant, it seems it takes a long time, because this conditioning that I am the independent enjoyer, that has been current for millions and millions of lifetimes. It's a strong, very strong contamination that I am the enjoyer. But you join the temple, you learn from day number one, Baba, you're not the enjoyer, you're the servant. Now clean the stool room. Now go to kitchen, cut vegetables. Now go on Sankirtan. Now do this. All day long, the temple command, at least back in my day, temple commander was all day telling you. But what were you learning? You were learning that I am Krishna's eternal servant. Bokaram Yagita Pasang. So that's the first item. Krishna's the enjoyer. I am the servant. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And then number two, God, Krishna, is the proprietor. Nothing is mine. Everything is the property of Krishna. So that's another hard thing to learn. Because again, being conditioned for millions of lifetimes, I am conditioned to think in terms, this is mine, and what you have, I want that too. This is the mentality of the demon. So much I have gained, and I will gain more in the future by my schemes. And that's what they do out there in the quote-unquote real world. How can I get... Now, there's a philosophy. If you're dumb enough to allow me to cheat you, you deserve it. That's the mentality. I will do whatever I can, and if you're a sucker, if I'm able to cheat you, too bad. You should have been more cunning like me. So this mentality that things belong to me, very strong psychological condition, that this belongs to me. And number three, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. What? I'm not the center of the universe? What? Everything doesn't revolve around me? People grow up thinking I'm prince or princess. The parents spoil the child. And the son grows up thinking I'm so special. Or the girl grows up thinking I am a princess. So, this mentality that everybody loves me. Everybody's talking about. I walk into the room and immediately all the attention turns on me. No. Krishna is the cenosure. Krishna is the center of attention. Krishna is everybody's dearmost friend. How is that? How is that Krishna is everybody's dearmost friend? Because He's in everyone's heart indiscriminately. He's in the heart of the demon. And Krishna is helping the demon how to become better demon. Because that's what the demon wants. So Krishna says, oh, you want to forget me? You want to imitate me? You'll need my help. Do like this. Do like this. Do like this. And become big, big demon. And bark like a dog. Bah, bah. And Krishna is also in the heart of the devotee. And Krishna is helping the devotee. Oh, you want to worship me? You want to think of me? You want to surrender to me? Do like this. Do like this. Do like this. Krishna is neutral, equal. He favors nobody. But then we learn from Bhagavad Gita. But whoever renders service to Krishna in devotion, Krishna says, I am a friend to him, and he is my friend. Reciprocal. Reciprocal. Bhrigupati was showing me his latest Prabhupada excerpt. So that concept is there, that love is reciprocal. That's love. So on this topic of peace, we also learn from Lord Chaitanya. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami shokali ashanta. Here's that word again, shanta or shanti. Lord Chaitanya teaches, the Krishna devotee is peaceful. Why is he peaceful? Because of those three things the devotee does. Devotee simply wants to love and serve Krishna. There's no personal desire. There's no ultra motive. That's the problem in the material world. Friendships are formed, marriages are formed, but there's always some, how shall we say, agenda. And that ruins everything. That spoils it. There is no love in this material world because behind everything there's some motive, there's some agenda. The other person wants something. But the Krishna devotee, nothing. My Lord, I simply want to love and serve you. That's why the devotee is peaceful, Lord Chaitanya says. But Lord Chaitanya says, bhukti, the sense enjoyer, cannot be peaceful. Why? The problem with sense gratification, what is that line from Bhagavad Gita? Dushparain analenacha. Your material desires will never be satisfied. You'll get some material desire and you'll think, now I want more. There is no satiation. And at some point, you will become frustrated. Guaranteed. Scientific. If you go for the big apple, right? Adam and Eve, the apple. If you go for sense gratification, 100% guaranteed, you will be frustrated. Because the living entity is not designed to enjoy. The living entity is designed to serve. And that takes so long to learn. Get it in my skull. I am here to serve. So the sense enjoyer cannot be peaceful. Bhagavad Gita says that the sense enjoyer, unlimited desires. It never ends. You ask yourself, all right, if I had $1 million, would I be satisfied? No. Because once you get $1 million, I want to. Look at all these gazillionaires. They're not happy. Right? They want more. They want more and more and more. Because material sense gratification doesn't satisfy the soul. You don't get peace through sense gratification. Bhukti mukti. the impersonalist who wants to become one with God. That's also a selfish desire. No peace. You will not get peace because the soul is created to love and serve God. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi and the person doing mystic yoga, what do they want? They want powers. They want material powers to manipulate and control this material cosmic manifestation in different ways. Again, they'll not be happy. But the devotee of Krishna, he will be peaceful and happy. Therefore, the conclusion, what does Krishna say twice in Bhagavad Gita? Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi sakyante pratijani priyosime. Always think of me. And how do we always think of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sometimes people question me. I'm doing meditation. But I'm trying to do meditation, but I'm thinking about all the things I have to do in my job. And that's why meditation is not recommended for Kali Yuga. Because people in Kali Yuga have so many bad habits. So much bad conditioning. So therefore, we need something stronger than the mind. Something to pull the mind. That is why we chant out loud. So you chant louder than the mind. The mind is going to go as soon as, actually, while you're sleeping, the mind is still running like a car. You leave the car running. The mind is always running. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, the mind has already been going all night. It's been going. So, to quiet the mind, to get the mind under the control, that's yoga process, yes. But it's not going to happen like this, no. The mind is too disturbed in this age of Kali, in this Los Angeles. The yogis did not do meditation in the cities. They went to the forest where it's calm and peaceful. But now the forests are disturbed everywhere you go. So, what is more powerful than the mind? Cheto Darpanam Marjanam. The sound vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Chant louder than the mind. What does Bhagavad Gita teach? Wherever the mind wanders or goes, you must bring it back under the control of the self. So therefore we chant loudly, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to get the mind. So, Manmana, always think of Krishna. Bhava Mad Bhakta, become my devotee. What does it mean to become a devotee? If you want to become a devotee, you read Prabhupada's books. Every page of Prabhupada's books is teaching you how to be a devotee. Every page. Take the book. Doesn't matter. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whatever. What is Prabhupada writing? How to become a devotee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji. Worship Krishna. We are doing that. 4:30 in the morning, worshipping Krishna. 7 o'clock in the morning, worshipping Krishna. This Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping Krishna. And the easiest way to worship Krishna, again, chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. easy to worship Krishna. You don't need so much paraphernalia. Oh, here's your, all your paraphernalia you need. Right here. Pair of beads. Even if you don't have beads, that's okay. You have a tongue. You have ears. You can worship Krishna. Simple. Mam namaskaru. And finally, we bow down to Krishna. We offer our respects to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is an egomaniac, that he wants everyone to praise him and worship him. He gets off by that? No. Krishna is telling us to bow down to him because it's in our interest. It's in our benefit. Again, it begins with that understanding. I'm not the enjoyer. I am the servant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, Suvas Prabhu, do you have anything you want to add or change or anything? Yes, Prabhu, wait for the microphone.
Okay. Well, I have a couple, but I'll start with one. In the beginning of the class, you called the heads of administration nowadays Rakshasas.
All over the world.
Yeah, and I've read that in Raja Vidya.
Oh, good.
Prabhupada says that in the third chapter.
Well, then that's... Where's my bell? I don't have my bell. Ding, ding, ding.
I was just wondering, should we take that literally? Are they literally Rakshasas, or is it a metaphor?
You're asking my opinion? If you want my opinion, take it literally. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. To a lesser or a greater degree. And I don't want to get into it now because I'll go nuts. But if you're asking my opinion, yeah. And it's going to get worse. Well, you will stick around because you're young. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy.
Okay, can I ask one
You can
more?
Do whatever you like. You're a sankirtan to
Okay, Hare Krishna. You were saying that you gave the peace formula.
Yes.
And then you said that people that are after sense gratification, they can never be satisfied. They can never be happy. But sometimes I see devotees or people practicing devotional service, they don't seem very happy or satisfied. Whereas I see people in the material world, sometimes they might be more in the mode of goodness. They seem more satisfied.
So, have you ever heard of this expression, the long game? So yes, in this material world, they do experience short-term happiness. And you can go anywhere here in Los Angeles, any time of the day. You can go to restaurants or clubs. Looks like they're enjoying. They look like they're happy. Short-term. Because the day is coming. Like what happened yesterday, the stock market went tumbling down. It's like that. It's just like that. They can enjoy for some time. What is that song? You're riding high in April, shot down in May. That's the material world. You can enjoy for a little time. Don't worry. The day will come back down. What, you have no... How old are you?
26.
Why do you think you joined this movement? You were self-realized?
No.
You joined this movement, why? Were you suffering?
Yeah.
Thank you. You know from personal experience. I know from my experience, I did not join this movement. I am seeking the... No. I was miserable. Suffering. I needed relief. Yes?
Yeah, that's it.
Anything else?
Yeah. One more other thing.
Go ahead.
Seems like what we're hearing now, that this miscreant who's punishing the cow and bulls deserves to be killed. But it almost seems like everyone falls in that category. Now, in yes. Kali Yuga. So yep. It's almost like if we were living back then, I don't want to speak for everyone else here, but at least for me, before I joined the movement, I should have been killed because of my activities.
The mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, because... Where is that picture? Over here. Oh yeah, here it is. So, Nityananda told Lord Chaitanya, hey, if you kill these two, you're going to have to kill all of the people of Kali Yuga. Because they're all bad. Yes. So the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we don't kill them. We kill the demoniac nature. We destroy the demoniac civilization. So our movement is a revolution of the misdirected civilization. Well, what are we trying to do? Bring sanity to the world. At least we have a place, an oasis. Here, things are seen. People are happy. Nobody's got guns shooting everybody. We eat nice. You enjoy prasadam, right? You enjoy your activities. Susukam kartam aviyam, in joyful, blissful activities. So at least you will die happy. Okay? All right, what else? Oh, Apurva, my god brother.
Thank you for a very enlivening and exciting class. I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm very thankful that you read those previous verses to get us back into the context. And what came up for me is, why is Maharaj Parikshit asking the bull who is the perpetrator? It seems like an obvious, seems like he caught him in the act. Why is he asking?
Even in a law court, court of law, you have to make sure that everything, all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed. So he's just checking to make sure, because he's going to act. So before acting, wants to make sure. Is this true? Is this going on? You understand? So he's just checking up, making sure there's no... Because... He cannot make a mistake. That's a problem. If you chastise the wrong person, that's also big offense. So he's just making sure. So is this the real thing? Okay? Wait, somebody else, you had your hand.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. I heard from some devotees, they were telling me that there are two kinds of people who are really happy in this material world. One is, one who has mentally problem, a crazy guy, he's happy. And another one is the sentient person who is completely on the spiritual platform. So can you explain a little bit more about this point?
First of all, in the material world, happiness is illusory, temporary, and mostly the enjoyment is within the mind. That's where the enjoyment is. So, when somebody says, I'm happy, no. They think they're happy. Like a person under the influence of an intoxicant. You've seen it on Harinam. I am Jesus. I am this. And he thinks, I'm fantastic. I'm good. I'm happy. But you can see, no, you're nuts. You're suffering. But he thinks that's Maya. You're in the lowest of the low. You're living on the street. You're diseased. But you think, I got some ripple. I'm drinking. I'm happy. I used to see it all the time before becoming a devotee, playing guitar in Greenwich Village. Right next door was the Bowery. And I would see people in the dead of winter on the street living in a cardboard box and thinking, this is the life. Yeah, thinking. That's what Maya does. She pulls you down deeper and deeper into the material world, then convinces you, this is the life. Hari Bol. Devotee's happiness, going back to the long game, I didn't finish. The devotee is not interested in some temporary, short-term benefit. He's looking long-term. In the mode of goodness, the time element enhances the mode of goodness. So you perform austerities and penances. It's inconvenient in the beginning, but as time goes on, you reap the benefits. So you are reaping, and you will reap more. So Vas was speaking yesterday how during Rath Yatra he experienced tremendous ecstasy. He's going to experience more of that. Of course, he's going to have to learn how to control it. But that is going to happen more. Why? The time element enhances the mode of goodness. That's why a song I love to sing, it's getting better all the time. That's Krishna consciousness. Okay?
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
We have time for one more from the Matajis. Any questions from the Matajis? Yes.
I think it was text 13. It said that about blackmailing the Pandavas. I thought it was interesting wording, but could you elaborate on that maybe? Like, you have
let's get the context. Just like yesterday's discussion, I think you brought up that term, something about independent, thoughtfully independent, something like that. Right? Was it you? Oh, it was you. Okay, I couldn't see on the screen. So, context is everything. We should research that, where that's coming from, and see the context, what Prabhupada is saying. So let's go to the blackmailing. Where is the blackmail?
I think it's 13 or about there.
All right. We'll find it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't find it. I'm too jacked up out of control. So, oh, here it is. I got it. Please tell me the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmailed the reputation of the sons of Pritha. In other words, when the Pandavas were ruling, especially under Yudhisthira, you will read here in this first canto, we have probably already read it. Everything was nice under Yudhisthira's reign. The earth was giving abundant everything. Right? So, when you blackmail someone, you take what they have, you destroy everything the other party has for your benefit. So, yes, what Kali is doing, he is robbing the good reputation and all the benefits that the Pandavas were able to achieve and destroying that. Because now that Kali has infiltrated, things are going to go down bad, bad, bad. That's the best way I can explain it. I think we're over time. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Hari Bol. Thank you for your drumming. Jai.